Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe Prunty. Joe, woo! Speaking for all American basketball fans, thank you.
Thank you,
Joe. Thank you. Appreciate the introduction.
Hey, now, correct me if I'm wrong. If you guys had screwed that up, the United States is in trouble for the Olympics, right?
It's a unique process. No, for this year, no. And potentially down the road, I know there's ways to still qualify, but not for this year. Now, this year is all set. FIBA has made a lot of changes in the last, since 2017 that can be complicated to follow. But long story short, the answer to your question is no, the Olympic team was just fine for this year.
Okay. Joe, how is that? Coaching a team like that. You had Joe Johnson, the longtime great NBA player, Isaiah Thomas, the former Cavalier who was on that team. How is that? How does that come together?
It's a great experience. I feel truly honored, and honored really even doesn't do it justice, what it meant to be a part of it. And even when I first did it in November with Coach Fratello as the head coach and assisting him, and then obviously becoming the head coach, it's a big deal. And the way it comes together is a lot of work by Sean Ford and his staff, him, Jim Tooley, I can't name everybody, but you know, Sean is the person that I worked with most directly in terms of building the team. And he really does a lot of work with his staff and presents the names and ideas and, gets in touch with all the people to fill out the roster. And what's amazing about it is we played a Mexico and a Bahamas team that I can't give you the exact number of players that returned. We didn't have one guy that was the same in November that played in February.
Wow.
And so it's not a lot of time. A week is not a lot of time to come together and be able to get on the court and then play two games and have a lot of success, but it goes to the selflessness that the guys have played with to make the teams play as well as they did.
Joe, this isn't your first run at international, is it? You were with Great Britain too, weren't you?
Right. I was the head coach for the British national team for 5 years.
Wow. So how does that differ when you're dealing with that team compared to, dealing with our team? I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah. It's for me, the biggest thing is, basketball is basketball, and both teams striving to do their best. Now, if you're obviously looking at world rankings, Team USA, we are number one. Great Britain is, they made Eurobasket this year. We competed in Eurobasket twice. So it's a very competitive team. But obviously, in the world rankings, like I said, Team USA is number one. And so that's a huge honor. It's obviously, for me, representing your own country is a massive deal, but I was truly appreciative to do both things. And what I would say is that one of the big differences is the continuity that you kind of get with Team USA, which sounds ironic when I just said that, none of the players were the same. But what I mean by that is during my 5 years in Great Britain, there was so much turnover with the board of directors, with the national team's director, which is Sean Ford. And they're not responsible for just the national team. They're responsible for the age group teams, you know, U18, U9, U20, so on and so forth. But during my time, I think I had three different people in the national team's director position. One year went without one. And I think there might have been four chairmen of the boards, you know, so four different people where you're meeting with them, talking about where some of the things need to improve, where things are strong, and yet a year later, it's a different person that you're talking to. And so we also had a ton of financial issues. So much of my time in Great Britain was devoted to off the court things and trying to build the program back up and get the players committed to playing again. I felt like at the time the London Olympics was going to be this catalyst, you know, coming in the year after the London Olympics, and really it was the exact opposite. The players were not as interested in wanting to play. You know, their experience wasn't kind of what they wanted it to be, is the way they translated it to me. So, again, a lot of my time was just spent building up the relationships, getting guys back committed, and that's what I appreciated this year for them, is that we are – 4 years removed at this point. I'm 4 years removed from coaching there, yet 10 of the 12 guys that helped them qualified were guys that either played when I was there or guys that I was helped trying to get brought into the program.
Joe Prunty joining us. Joe, the Cavaliers have won four straight games for the first time since LeBron James was a Cavalier. That's a good thing. They're doing it with, I think, Jared Allen really becoming a centerpiece of this franchise. But it's led to an interesting situation. What do you make of the situation with Andre Drummond not playing, awaiting a trade or something, and Jared Allen coming in and being the starting center now for the Cavs?
Well, it's a difficult situation from a coaching standpoint, because it's something that you're having to handle or talk about, as opposed to talking about how the team is playing. One thing that I can say for certain is that there are few people that know exactly what is going on. Everybody always thinks they know the answers, and they'll get one tidbit of information from one person to say, okay, this is the problem, or this is what's going right. It's hard to say exactly what's going on. It seems like there's an agreement on how to proceed forward by, you know, the Cavs and Andre Drummond. But again, that's, you know, that's stuff that they need to work out. To your other point, I think what's really interesting is obviously a guy like Jared Allen doing what he's doing. But I think what goes by the way, because what I'll also say is at the beginning of the year, a guy that got a lot of publicity was Isaac Okoro, for just some of the highlights that he had and some of the things he was doing. And so going under the radar, ironically, are guys like Colin Sexton and Darius Garland, who are having great years. And not only playing well, but playing well together.
So Jeff and I were talking about this before the show. And so, you know, you take a guy like LeBron, and I think early on, those of us that have watched basketball for a long time, you could have made the argument that LeBron was, I don't know, ball hogging a little bit, especially early on in his career. And it's even now, I mean, even when they go into the stand at the top of the key and I'm going to wait and take the last shot kind of feeling. I mean, traditionally, you may have said, why would you want to do that? And now we look at Colin Sexton, and he gets ripped for it sometimes for taking too many shots or not giving the ball up enough. And, like, Jeff and I were trying – I'm like, what's right and what's wrong? And it's like, with LeBron, you're good with it, obviously, because he can win you a game. But early on in his career, it wasn't always like that, or any other player like that. And so, I don't know, we're trying to get a mix on when is it okay and when is it not okay to kind of be a little bit of a ball hog. Does that make sense?
Sure. Well, what I would say is everything is okay when you win.
Good point.
And that sounds like a cop-out answer, but it's the truth. When you win, no one says anything negative about your play. And so what's interesting is you'll have teams that are playing a certain way at the beginning of the year. They'll, you know, 10 games into the season, they'll have their system set pretty structured and organized, and the guys have a flow and a feel to it, and no one will say anything. They'll play that same way in the playoffs, and they'll get lambasted for just, you know, what are you doing? You can't play that way. You can't win that way.
Right.
So it got them to the playoffs, but it didn't win. And the reality is only one team is going to win the championship, you know, unless you guys have solved – created a different opportunity here.
Well, at least we're letting 10 teams in the playoffs now, so we're good on each side.
Well, and I don't know if that's the case. I think their plans are they officially playoff games.
I've got all these T-shirts made up that said, we're the 10 seed, we're the 10 seed. So please, I got to sell those things when we're done.
So all I'm getting at is that there are styles and ways that fit. I know that in San Antonio years ago, when we threw the ball to Tim and Dave, and then as it evolved over time, obviously David retired and we threw it down low to Tim, people would say, well, you just stand around. You just stand around. Everybody stands and Tim has the ball. And then we'd win a championship and everybody would say, oh, your offense is amazing. And I'm not saying that the Spurs offense hasn't evolved and Pop has changed certain things, you know, like Tim and Manu, more pick and roll came into play, but we ran pick and roll with Avery Johnson back in the beginning of, you know, the time that Pop took over. So it really, although there were some changes from like the 2003 year when we won it, we hadn't changed it from the 2002 year when we lost. Everybody said your offense isn't good. And 2004, now it wasn't any good anymore. But 2005, it was great again. So you really have to be careful when people say, well, it doesn't work or it does work. I mean, like you said, LeBron probably got criticized for it early on, as he's become possibly, you know, everybody has the debate over who's the greatest of all time. And now that he's in that equation, people still debate because they say, well, he's a ball hog. What I can say is he's not. He's a very selfless player and is an amazing passer.
Joe, what's going on at the center spot? You just mentioned, you know, Tim Duncan, who probably the greatest power forward in NBA history, played some center as well. David Robinson, you guys won in San Antonio with that. Here you have DeMarcus Cousins, who, for better or worse, is just sent on his way in Houston. Andre Drummond, leading rebounder in the NBA for three straight years, awaiting a trade. Is the center spot the way that you remember it from the glory days, completely a dead thing in the NBA? Are they ever going to have that again? Or has the game changed so much that your seven-footers are out on the wing now?
No, it has changed for sure. And more centers than not are dynamic rollers. They set great screens. They roll hard to the rim. Some of them half roll or roll more into the pocket and play make rather than get to, like, so one of the elite screener rollers years ago that people didn't talk about was Dwight Howard. Like, they talked about him, like, you know, you guys talk about complaining. Everybody said, well, you have to give Dwight Howard post touches. And he was good on the post. He was a good basketball player when you put him in the post. Had to deal with him, you know, had to figure out how you wanted to guard him. But when he was setting those screens and rolling with some of the players that were around him to spread the floor, it was really hard to defend him when he was on the move like that. And that was, you know, when he first came in, there were still some centers that were traditional post-up guys. But when I first got into the league with players like Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaq, I mean, we could even go with guys like Rick Smits in Indiana, who, you know, people don't think about, but was a very good post player. And so without naming everybody, the centers at that time were very dominant post players, you know, get the ball on the block, go to work, space the floor and give them room to operate. If you double, kick it out, and then you're going to either shoot a three, you're going to drive it, but you're going to play off of that double team. Now it's just the centers create a problem by setting the screen and rolling. And you may not see it all the time, but they're the ones that are potentially committing to the ball because of their ability to get the ball open with the screen and then their ability to roll hard to the front of the rim. Or like I said, if they catch it in the pocket like a Marc Gasol catches it in that little pocket and now he playmakes to either corner or possibly the other wing. And it becomes really hard to guard. So the centers – as a whole, just have a different role, but they're still very impactful and still have an important role on both ends of the floor.
Joe, always a pleasure, buddy. We thank you, and congratulations on your fine work with Team USA.
Thanks, Joe, very much. Always good to catch up.
Joe Prunty joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, a Basketball Nation. Thanks you, Joe. That was good work.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.